Welcome everybody to a special edition of the Roldorf Cafe. This edition is rather special because it's a wind-up edition of the Roldorf Cafe today. On Saturday, March 29th, I interviewed the owners and product managers of a few brands to have a chat about what they're up to and what's in their future. These interviews were completely unplanned and very much out in the open, as you'll hear, because it was on the terrace of the venue in San Francisco. I hope you enjoy the chat. Okay, so another interview at Wind Up Watch Fair here in San Francisco, and I have got somebody very special here that I met last year, Nicholas Gargill from Fierce. Thank you, Nicholas, so much for coming here and taking this time out. I saw how busy you were upstairs. You're inundated with people, which must be really fantastic. So thank you for taking a quick 10 minutes out to do this with me, and let's get right into it.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to speak with you, and it's great to be back in San Francisco. This is actually my third trip to San Francisco this year. Yeah. And this year is all about a lot of traveling for me, as Fierce is beginning to really sort of, you know, I'd say spread its wings and, you know, grow its international presence. It means a lot more traveling for me, but more importantly, that means meeting more of our collectors, more of our enthusiasts, and also introducing the brand to more people who don't necessarily know much about one of Britain's oldest watch companies.
Absolutely. You know, I've watched a number of independent brands sort of grow over the last sort of 15 or 20 years, and the more successful ones have been the ones who have actually been there in person, talking to people, so that, you know, it's not a faceless brand. It's a brand that has a real person behind it, which I think is so important.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's not just the people behind it. You know, fundamentally, we're also talking about an object, yeah, right? You know, as the company has grown in the last few years, a big thing I invested in was a new headquarters, because yeah, I wanted, rather than the team working remotely, I want everyone under one roof. And that's not through some sort of old fashioned harking back to the old days. It's going, actually, Zooms are good to a point, but when you're discussing a physical product, you need to look at the same color. You can't always, you know, have to look at, you know, a screen render or a Pantone chart. Yeah. And it's the same here. I mean, the big thing I've heard over the last 2 days of the show so far is just how many people have gone, wow, the photos are good, the watch is better in the metal. Indeed. And every single brand I speak to says the same. And you just realize photos and videos are good to a point, but they just don't bring it to life. So, yeah, I think it's, well, fortune favors the bold, but it is the case of going, you know, thankfully, the pandemic is behind us now, and it's going right. If you're willing to get on a plane, you're willing to fly, you're willing to meet people, you know, put in the work, I think people are very receptive to that.
Indeed. Absolutely. Okay, so tell us about why or what Fierce is to you, and why you restarted the company.
Well, I think that word restarted is the key thing. So, you know, I mentioned earlier, Fierce is one of Britain's oldest watch companies. It was started by my great-great-great-grandfather in 1846 in Bristol, and ran through three generations of the Fierce family until it closed in 1976. I then restarted it in 2016, so 7 years ago, after discovering it was in my family's history by accident, actually. At the time, I was an apprentice at Rolex, and then one day my mother let slip that actually there was this great old heritage watch company in our history. And once I learnt about it, I was like, this is what I need to do. So I'd say straight off, the thing that Fierce is to me, it's about legacy. It's my family's history. And, you know, that governs a lot of the things I do, not just from designing a watch, but how I operate as a business. Because deep down, I may own the business, but I see myself as the custodian. You know, it ran for 130 years before it closed. And so for me, it's going, I'm not interested in the next 1, 5, 10 years. I'm thinking 50 years. Yeah. And how does it keep going after I pass away?
What I find really spectacular there is the fact that quite by chance, you got into watchmaking at Rolex, not knowing ultimately this background. So it truly was, in the truest sense of the term, it was in your DNA.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, watchmaking is a very weird profession when you stop and think about it, you know, and I think to do it well, it's more like a vocation. But I'd say, you know, when you look at watch brands today, you know, people start or restart watch companies for all kinds of different reasons. But I think you can tell the watch companies that have, you know, someone who has a technical background at the helm. Yes. I think there's just a little bit of a difference behind what's created and what's done.
I couldn't agree more. I really couldn't. Okay, so tell us, what's new with Fears right now? What's happened in the last 6 months or so, and what will be happening in the next 6 months or year?
Well, in terms of what's new, product-wise, 6 months ago, almost exactly, we launched our larger, sportier watch, the Brunswick 40. Still a very elegant, everyday piece in a 40mm case, but it also saw the launch of our bespoke five-link bracelet, a bracelet I spent nearly 2 years developing before having it handmade. And it's been great to see how that has now opened us up to beyond the pure collector who favours a slightly smaller manual wind watch. An automatic, it's a very practical everyday piece. But in terms of the company itself, the big thing is the opening of our new headquarters. The fact the team has more than doubled in the last year. Last 6 months, it's nearly doubled again. And it's just lovely to see Fears kind of being able to grow and develop and become the best of what it can achieve. In terms of what's coming new, we've got, at any one time, we've got about 13, 14 different projects on the go. Everything has a cryptic code name. So we have Project Snow, Project NR, Project Shovel, all kinds of different projects on the go. What I have learned since the pandemic is, as much as you want to pinpoint when something will launch, you have to realize that actually it will be governed by suppliers. It will be governed by all kinds of other things outside of our control. That doesn't mean you take a foot off the accelerator. You know, you've got to make projects. You know, projects have got to happen. But it's difficult to say exactly which will be the next one.
Okay. So I know your time is really precious. And I thank you so, so much for coming out and sitting down with us and taking this time. I can't wait to get back to the UK. And instead of visiting you in London, but to actually come down to Bristol and see what's going on there and meet your team. Be great.
No, it'd be wonderful to have you. And I mean, our head office, which is in a beautiful old Victorian paintworks, so it's a very atmospheric premises. We also have a showroom there. So, you know, we always have people coming to see the showroom, see the archive, but also try on the collection there. So if anyone fancies popping down to Bristol, just go on the website, book an appointment and come on down.
Fantastic. And for those that can't make it over to the UK, how can they reach you? Where can they see Fears?
So the best place is always the website. That's where the most up-to-date information is. That's where, you know, we have the best photography of the watches and a live chat, so someone can walk you through the website live. So if you visit fearswatches.com or on social media at fearswatches. So it keeps it nice and simple. And if anyone wants to see behind the scenes of running a watch company, they can follow my personal Instagram, which is at Nicholas Bowman Scargill. And yeah, you can have a look at what it's like to be a watch brand managing director in the 21st century.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Nicholas. This has been an absolute pleasure and honor. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. This is Jason, and I want to thank you for being with us today, listening to the Roldorf Cafe podcast. You can hear more of our shows and when they're released on Instagram and our website. We cover many topics about watches, the industry, and the brands we're most passionate about. You can find the Roldorf shop at 307 West Cordova in Gastown in Vancouver. And we'd be delighted to welcome you and talk watches. Visit our website for more information at roldorf.co.